I want to bring a message today called Seven Benefits of Prayer and Fasting. Last week we talked about six keys to kind of get us on track. And today, again, I just want to say to you, it's not too late to join us. Please, please join us in some way, shape, or form. You can fast in lots of different ways, and it will absolutely set your year up in a wonderful way if you will honor God at the first of the year. So I want to talk about seven benefits. Why? You know, sometimes people talk about prayer and you go, well, prayer is hard but doable, but fasting, that's terrible. Why would I give up food? Well, it's a biblical concept, and there is a spiritual component behind it that we don't always understand. How many of you noticed that the Bible, some people have described as the upside down kingdom? And actually, I think the world is upside down and the kingdom is right side up. But the Bible teaches us to do things that seem to our natural minds to be absolutely against the way we would normally do things. If you want to be blessed, give. That's what the Bible teaches. If you want to find life, lay your life down. Die to yourself. And if you want to really touch God and move His heart and enter into a deeper place with Him, give up the very sustenance, the very thing that would keep you alive, the very food that you would feast on. So this morning, seven benefits. The first one is simply this: fasting humbles our soul. If you've ever fasted for any length of time, you understand absolutely what I'm saying here. It humbles your soul, your mind, your emotions, your will. Sometimes the staff here at the church has kind of poked on me a little bit. When we get into a fast, the first few days you can be a little bit grumpy, it can be a little challenging. But one of the things you feel quickly on as you are not eating at all is you feel humbled. Your very life source, your very energy, there's almost a sense of mourning. Fasting brings us to a place where we just honestly and readily, I think, acknowledge our dependence upon God. We begin to acknowledge how much we need Him. And fasting causes us to seek Him in a way that causes us, quite honestly, to receive from Him. And dependency is just a critical issue. It's so necessary to really receive from God. So often we think to ourselves, and this is kind of an American thing for sure, this American independent spirit, you know, we can handle this on our own, but fasting is saying, God, I can't handle it on my own. God, I absolutely need You. I depend on You. I look to You. The Bible tells us that God opposes the proud. Now, I felt that at times in my life because God has had to deal with my pride, and I've had to deal with my pride. Some of you have been there too, and you understand exactly what I'm saying. You do not want God to oppose you. You want God to be moving and working in and through your life in a way that He can bring blessing. How does that happen? The Bible says over and over again, it says, God opposes the proud, but God gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, before the Lord. Humble yourself. How do you humble yourself? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever asked that question? Well, the Bible's encouraging us. In fact, some of us would joke around and say things like this, right? You better humble yourself because you don't want God to do it. And there's some truth to that, right? I mean, if God humbles you, wow, that's a humbling thing for sure. That is a challenging thing for sure. But how do you humble yourself? Well, one of the ways is through fasting. It's giving up the very food that keeps us alive. It makes us feel a sense of God in a more acute way, that we need Him, that we're not just trying to do it on our own. You know what? If in life, in the Christian life, if everything we achieve, everything we do is just us doing it on our own instead of God helping us, can you imagine what we're missing out on? We're missing out on the help that God would give if we would depend upon Him and trust Him. Humility is really defined as dependence upon God. Humble yourself, the Bible says, under His mighty hand. And you know what? If you get under the mighty hand of God, the mighty hand of God also comes under you. And this is a good place to be, where His hand is over you and His hand is under you. This is a good place to be. You're covered. Fasting, I believe, really recalibrates our life. It recalibrates our priorities. Let me give you an example of humbling. oneself before the Lord. It's Ezra, book of Ezra chapter 8. Ezra, godly man who's leading back some of the exiles from a time of being away from Jerusalem. The king is encouraging him to take back several of the articles from the temple, which were incredibly expensive and valuable. And he offers to send with Ezra, and Ezra's taking a large group, including kids and their families, back to Jerusalem. He offers to send with him an armed guard, you know, soldiers. And Ezra says, no, thanks, appreciate the offer. But here's what he does. Instead of taking the offer of the help of man, Ezra looks for the help of God. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava that we might humble ourselves before our God. Notice fasting, humbling. There's a humbling that comes through fasting. To seek God from Him, a safe journey for ourselves, our children, and all our goods. By the way, when you fast and pray, it also is a way of covering your children, covering others, bringing a breakthrough to others. And Ezra's saying, God, I need you. God, I can't do this on my own. God, would you help us? And God absolutely helps them, and they make that journey safely. Psalm 35:13 says, I put on sackcloth and humbled myself with fasting. How do you humble yourself? Well, fasting's a great place to start, believe me. Fasting makes you feel humble. You know, our bodies can tend to drive us and take control. We're body, soul, and spirit. You don't want your body to be in control. You want your spirit to be in control. You want to live from your spirit first. And sometimes we have to remind our body it's not in control, because our body will tend to drive us in so many ways. When we're hungry, we eat. When we're tired, we rest. And that's not bad until it gets to the place that our body's driving us in everything and making the decisions for us instead of us telling our bodies what to do. Our body is this physical apparatus that's here to serve us, that we might be the people of God and do His will. Fasting just changes that. It sets our heart on God, our mind on God. You're saying no to your body and yes to your spirit. It purges, it tunes out the unnecessary, and it tunes us in to God. Secondly, fastness helps secure favor in situations. One of the things I pray for on a daily basis is God's favor in my life. What is favor? Well, you might define it as preferential treatment. Is God moving and working on your behalf? Is God giving you grace? Is God opening doors? Is God giving you breakthrough? Is God really being favorably disposed toward us? We all need favor. There might be a situation in your life where you need favor with a friend, or maybe with a neighbor, or maybe with a boss, or maybe with an instructor or a professor, or maybe with a family member. You name it. Anything you can imagine where you need some kind of preferential treatment from a person in order for something to work out in your life, you need to be seen, heard, considered. You need treatment that's out of the ordinary. You need favor. What's going to open the door and bring favor in your life? Fasting. Nehemiah needed favor with the king. Sometimes we talk about the incredible, brave act of Esther. And Esther's act was brave, coming before the king and trusting that the scepter will be extended to her and that she'd be welcomed into his presence. And if she wasn't, her life could be taken. But what about Nehemiah? Talk about a man of God and talk about a bold ask. I want you to see this story and I want to tell you a little bit about it. Nehemiah is the cupbearer to the king of Persia. He's in exile. And he hears word from his brother that the city of Jerusalem is not doing well. His city, the city of God, the city of the people of God, is not doing well. In fact, the walls of the city have been torn down and the gates have been burned. And here's what Nehemiah does in response to that. As soon as I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days, and I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. He fasted and he prayed. Nehemiah needed favor with the king. Nehemiah was feeling called to do something about the situation and the circumstances in his nation. but he's just a cupbearer to a foreign king, the king of Persia. He's an exile. What happens? Well, you know, the king had actually been a part of what had happened there in the nation of Israel, in the city of Jerusalem. This king was the most powerful monarch of the day. This is Nehemiah. This is Nehemiah going to the most powerful monarch in his day and asking him basically to reverse his decision on the city of Jerusalem. And that's a dangerous thing. We often think about that with Esther, but we don't think about that with Nehemiah. Here's what Nehemiah is saying. King, reverse your decision. Change your mind. Alter your opinion. Let Jerusalem be rebuilt. Basically, he's saying, I think you made the wrong decision, king. You know what? That right there can get you killed. Nehemiah is saying, reverse your foreign policy. Appoint me as governor of the city. And oh, by the way, listen to this big ask. I want you to pay the bill for it too. This is what Nehemiah is coming to the king with this request. How many of you think he might just need the favor of God for something to happen? What's he do? He fasts and he prays. And guess what happens? Oh Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant, to the prayer of your servants who delight to fear your name, and give success or favor to your servant today, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. The king now is cupbearer to the king. You know what ends up happening? The king moves on Nehemiah's behalf. The king grants Nehemiah's request. God gives Nehemiah favor with the king, and the king agrees to not only send him and give him time off and for him to be able to go and rebuild the walls, but he pays for it too. Fasting can give you favor. So powerful, so important. Fasting also helps us discern God's will. As a pastor, one of the things I find with so many Christians who are sincere about serving God is they want to know what God's will is in their lives. One of the ways that you're going to find God's will is to fast and pray. It helps us understand and know God's will for our lives. What can be more important than that? I don't know about you, but I want to live my life in the center of God's will. That's my heart's desire. We all have situations along the way, by the way, that we need his will. We need to understand what his direction is, and we need to seek him. Which job should I take? Which house should I buy? Here's a big one. If you're single, what person should I marry? I mean, these are important big rock decisions, right? You don't want to miss God in these things. So important that you hear his voice. So what do? You fast and you pray. You seek his face and you hear his voice. Look at Acts 13, 2. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, notice the voice of God here, the voice of God speaking to the people of God, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. We need to hear his voice so much in these days. If we don't learn to hear God's voice with greater clarity, we'll be swept downstream with the culture and its many voices. I don't need to hear political pundits, politicians, or even the many voices in the prophetic community who seem to have missed it in these days. I need to hear God. I can't rely on others to hear God for me. I have that privilege and opportunity myself as a believer. Let's not get lazy. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes sacrifice. I like to call this the prayer meeting that changed the world. What an incredible thing that happened there as they sought God's will through prayer and fasting. That kind of thing can happen today. Some years back, Tracy and I went to a missions institute in Los Angeles, and our roommates were a precious couple from Illinois named Ted and Sue Olbrick. It was a wonderful opportunity to meet these guys. We didn't know them beforehand, and God was moving and working in their hearts. They were pastors in Illinois, and Ted had been a pig farmer. What a glorious occupation, by the way, a pig farmer. Can you imagine that? But they'd started a church, and God was blessing it, and good things were happening. But Ted had a sense from the Lord through prayer and fasting that God was calling him to be a witness, an evangelist, a representative of God in the country his wife was from. And Sue was from the area of the world of Cambodia. Maybe some of you remember Cambodia's got quite a history, right? The killing fields and Pol Pot and landmines and people with blown off appendages and just a really difficult area of the world. And God called Ted and Sue through prayer and fasting to go back to minister there. Let me tell you what happened. The first person they led to Christ was a little lady. And this little lady, some days after they had led her to the Lord, she had two little orphan children dumped off on her doorstep. And she thought, what in the world am I going to do with them? Oh, I know. I'll take them to the people that led me to Christ. Surely they know what to do with them. So before long, Ted and Sue just got into Cambodia, and two little orphans show up at their doorstep, and she says, I know you'll know what to do with them. Ted and Sue are thinking, wow, this is not why we came, but we'll care for them. We'll do what we need to do. Let me tell you, something began to happen. More and more heard about Ted and Sue. They began to love on and disciple these orphans for the cause of Christ. Today, it's a miracle. In fact, even if you study missiology and you look at the nations of the world today, you'll see this is one of the greatest things, one of the greatest moves of God in a country on the face of the earth today in our day and lives. It's amazing what happened because soon, listen, Ted and Sue now have 106 orphan homes throughout Cambodia. How many of you can give the Lord praise for that? 106. Right now, they're caring for 3,000 plus orphans. And in their past, they've cared for over 15,000 orphans who they continue to disciple and raise up for the glory of God. So guess how many churches now have been started out of those 106 church orphan homes? 6,000 churches have been started in the nation of Cambodia. And it started with two little orphans and one precious couple praying and seeking the Lord and going to a nation that had been racked with so much violence and hatred and problems. By the way, I'm not going to read all the verses, but Daniel fasts. He says, I ate no delicacies, no meat, no wine entered my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all for 3 full weeks. The Daniel fast, by the way, is, essentially he didn't eat the good stuff. He just ate the stuff that was good for you. So if you want to join in with us, and you could even join in for these last couple of weeks, there's another way to fast. There's a full fast, a partial fast, a Daniel fast. But it's interesting, in Daniel 10, the Lord sends an angelic messenger and says, for the first day that you set your heart to understand and you humbled yourself, there's that word humbled again, your words have been heard and I've come because your words. Daniel really realizes that in the midst of his fasting, there's a spiritual war going on. And the last thing the enemy wants is a spiritual breakthrough. But God breaks through because of Daniel's fast. Because of Daniel setting his heart to seek the Lord. Fourth thing, fasting gives us power to break demonic strongholds. I love this. This is out of Matthew 17, but it's also found in the book of Mark, I think chapter 9. The disciples are praying for a boy, the father and the boy, and the boy's being tormented by a devil and a demon, and they pray and they pray, and they'd seen things happen before, but in this case, they couldn't get a breakthrough. Jesus comes, and Jesus prays for the little boy, and the breakthrough comes. And by the way, Jesus makes the statement, he says, but this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Do you realize what that means? I want you to think about that, right? That means Jesus was living a lifestyle of fasting. Okay, do you see what I'm saying? This kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. What does that mean? Jesus had been fasting. That's what it means. I love the book Spirit of the Disciplines by Dallas Willard. He basically says this, that we practice the disciplines of God daily so that when the opportunities and the occasions arise, we're ready. See, the disciples, in a sense, for them to have had any success in this particular prayer occasion, the disciples would have had to said to that father and that little boy, hey, we're going to go away for 3 days and fast and pray. We'll be back in 3 days. Hope your son's still alive. We'd like to pray for him then. Because they weren't going to get a breakthrough unless there was prayer coupled with fasting. And by the way, fasting breaks addictions. Fasting sets people free. Fasting tears down strongholds. You have a besetting sin. You have an addiction. You have something you're struggling with. You need a breakthrough. Then fast. Fast. And let's watch what God does in the midst of that situation. Number five, fasting prepares us for a new season of life and ministry. Long ago, Tracy and I were fasting and seeking the Lord. We went on a 21-day fast together and fasted the whole 21 days together, she and I. And it was out of that that God began to do miraculous things, one after another after another. It was an amazing thing. It was one of those seasons where when it rains, it pours. God was speaking to us everywhere we went. And God ultimately opened the door and moved on our hearts to pastor and begin this church through that season of fasting. Back to Acts 13. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. Do you realize that before Paul started his ministry, what did he do? He fasted. He fasted. Do you realize before Jesus started his ministry, what did he do? He fasted. Isn't that interesting? Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. Do you think possibly before you and I, if we're troubling with what does God want to do in my life? What does God have for me? Then maybe it'll be in a fast that you find that. In fact, write this down if you're not. The plans of God for your life will be revealed in the presence of God. The plans of God in your life will be revealed in the presence of God. And fasting and prayer brings you into the presence of God. As a church, we fast and pray. Our staff is fasting and praying for God's direction for this church. There's all kinds of things churches are trying to do in this season. I don't want to just grab hold of those things randomly. I want to know what the Lord's calling us to. Number six, fasting can bring healing. Do you know there's a whole chapter in Scripture, it's Isaiah chapter 58, on fasting? It's primarily a warning. The first several verses are a warning because the people had misused fasting. The people had incorrect motives in their fasts. And it was ineffective because of those incorrect heart motives. And God says, here's the way to do it. The right way to do it, to have my heart, to bring justice, not just to give up food, but to bring justice. So much of what we're focusing on with the Harvest Project is, God, let us be a part of things that are bringing justice to people who are hurting, people who are abused, people who are struggling. We want to be a part of that. And then if you have the right heart and the right motives and the right practice, here's what God promises. Here's what he says a true fast will bring forth. Isaiah 58:8. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. You need a breakthrough in healing? Maybe it's going to be found in the place of fasting. It used to be that a lot of folks said, well, fasting, that's not a good thing for you. I don't know that that's good for your body. University of Indiana did a study here not long ago. There's a significant lowering of cholesterol that comes through fasting, a lowering of blood pressure, and a relief of arthritis symptoms. Now fasting's become popular in some senses, in the secular sense, through intermittent fasting. It's certainly not about dieting, and it's not just about the health benefits. It's about seeking God first, putting him first, him being your first love. Number seven, and the last of my list, fasting gives us a greater awareness of God's presence. Because remember, the plan of God for your life is going to be found in the presence of God in your life. And here's the promise that Isaiah 58 gives us. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. I'll be there, God says. My presence will be there with you. I will answer you. Let me say it this way. An empty stomach is possibly the most powerful prayer posture. God honors fasting and prayer. God sees, he knows, and he answers. And it's not too late to join us. You'll find your heart quieted. You'll find your focus coming upon him. You'll sense his presence in a newfound way. And there will be benefits and blessings that are amazing from his heart. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes with me? Lord, speak to us in this season. So many times, Lord, in this life, we don't know what to do. We look around, we see the chaos and the turmoil in our nation. We're concerned about so many things. Sometimes we can just fret and worry, be caught up in anxiety, fear. But Lord, you've given us a sure path to walk down. That is to seek you first in all things. In that seeking first, Lord, there's times where we lay aside the comforts of this life. We lay aside the delicacies of this life. We lay aside the food and everything else to seek you first, to put you first, because that order is important. What comes first affects everything that comes thereafter. And Lord, we want you first in all things. We want to seek you with all of our heart. We want to find you. We want to find your will, your purpose, your plan for our lives, our families, our church, our city, our nation in this year. God, meet us in this time. We dedicate it to you. We cry out for more of you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. 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 Would you stand with me today? I want to thank you for coming. Can you join me in just giving the Lord praise this morning? Amen. We'll be here at 7 a.m. in the morning praying and fasting if you'd like to join us. Also, there's an online way to join us. We'd love for you to do that. God bless you. Thanks for coming today. We do have a packet. Did I give out the packet? We have a packet of information for those that didn't get one. Please grab one. In fact, we've got a prayer card there too. You'll notice the prayer board in the back. We're asking everybody to submit a prayer card so we can pray with you for whatever it is God's moving on your heart to bring breakthrough in this year. So grab a packet as you go. Also, a lifesaver. Don't eat it. That's for you to pray for somebody that Jesus will be their lifesaver, somebody that's lost that needs him. Amen. God bless you. Lord, go with us. Let your light shine on us and your face shine upon us. Your light shine through us. Your light shine, your face shine upon us. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day and a great week.